Blog Talk Radio.
Got it under control now. Bill's here with me, and Bill's got a couple things he wanted to talk about. I got a couple things I want to talk about, but what we're going to talk about, the first topic is going to be the new changes in the traffic laws for California.
Hey, all right, let's jump right into it. Welcome again to the Feel and Bill Show. Once again, Screwdriver, it's a bad time of the year for us. We have so many toy runs going on. I'm really burnt out, but we have a couple left I want to talk about. We have the Tijuana toy runs coming up this weekend, the last toy run in Southern California. Now, people listen to me, Midwest, East Coast, different countries. Why are you involved in Tijuana? What do you care? I'm going to tell you why we do it. These are children. They're born on the other side of the fence, the other side of the border. There, but for the grace of God.
To you, it's the other side of the world, but go ahead, Bill.
These children don't even care about politics. They don't know a darn thing about it. All they know is they're in an orphanage somewhere, and they're looking for a little attention, little toys, little candy. Screwdriver and I do this run every year we can because of the fact, first of all, it makes us feel good. Number two, again.
Second of all, they have a great party the night before, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, there is a party with one of the major Mexican organizations down there on the night before, which is notorious, but on the positive PR department, the next day, Sunday, we go down there because, again, these are children. Many, many, many people constantly, I don't know so much you, but I get hit off a lot. Well, why are you bothering with Mexico? It's, first of all, it's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do what I want to do. I cannot see a child not sharing Christmas. Now, the fact that just across the border, again, I just don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with any child anywhere in the world. So we're going to be going down to Tijuana Toy Run possibly this Sunday. We're looking at maybe some rain. That might slow things up a little bit. We'll meet down at San Diego Harley-Davidson, and we're going to ride down in some type of a protected pack to the border, I believe the CHP, across the border. We're going to do about an 11, 15-mile ride into Mexico, end up on Revolution Street, where we get finally across the border, we'll be American police will stop us, they'll leave us, and the Mexican police will pick us up, so we'll be okay there.
Not pick us up, Bill. Escort us.
Yeah, escort us the rest of the way.
People might get confused.
So this is the last toy run, and actually Screwdriver and I have been running all around the state of California with different runs. I hopefully won't make any more toy run announcements for a while. I it will sound like humbug, but I've done too many toy runs, but it's a choice that I make.
Yeah.
Let me switch subjects real quick before you jump into stuff here. We have a couple events coming up here. January 23rd, we're going to celebrate the loss of Screwdriver, my friend. This guy was a fire chief at Catalina Island, a small island 30 miles off the coast of California. He retired to Oceanside, ran a big bagger everywhere, was a great guy to party with. He passed away, and a lot of his friends want to get together. So while you were out building ships to defend our country, you don't think those Muslims got any ships, do you? Do they have little rowboats? Or what are they?
No, Bill, and if you give me a second while we're talking, I can show you a picture that you can describe to people on the stuff that we actually do. Because right now, our friend Evil E is in London. He says he's on a 3-minute delay from what we say, but This is the new stealth.
That's the thing invisible, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the one that disappears. It's the number
because
one.
Radar part. Can't catch or something like that.
Right. It's on the deck of the Washington, which we just fixed at work. We rewired the whole thing so that it ship fire at sea. But it's the FA-37. It looks like a stealth, but it's really cool. And then this is when it takes off, and they have a woman,
beautiful girl.
That's a woman lieutenant flying.
Her name is Kara.
Yeah, her
Kara. Her last name, but Kara. Yeah.
And then when they get ready to take off, it's silent.
It's not like one of the Harriers, so that doesn't get strapped. That takes off like a traditional plane.
Right.
And that's the stuff you work on.
Yeah, this is the Washington. It's an aircraft carrier right here.
This
is the carrier group right here. This is they're going to the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you where they're going, but they're going. And then here's the plane that just took off leading the flight group. That's the radar plane up there.
So I don't know if you know this technical question or not. They're big guns. How many miles can they shoot them and be effective? 50 miles, 150 miles?
26
miles.
Depends on the charge, from what I understand. Okay. And then this right here is the one that they made at our sister shipyard on the East Coast. And it's made out of steel.
You have a sister back there?
No, I have a sister shipyard. And it's made out of the steel from...
Your sister has a shipyard.
Right. But it's made out... It's the USS New York. It's LPD-21.
What does that mean?
It's
LPD.
Light patrol duty.
Oh, okay.
It's made from the steel from the World Trade Center.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I'm not going to make any humor about that. That's serious,
yeah.
But let me ask you something. You're 26 miles away, they can shoot. And Al-Qaeda. What do you think they got, rowboats? So I'm trying to picture these Arabs attacking us, you know. Ikea, the rowboats. We don't have to get into any real concern until, like, about, 30 miles outside? Then we can just fire the guns?
Right.
Okay.
Like right now.
Try to picture all those little ragheads with rowboats, you know?
Exactly.
Coming to attack.
Well, you know, we just finished the tanker bill and we ended up mounting 50 cal machine guns in strategic places.
Is that something new? I didn't know we mounted.
We mounted them at private tanker.
Oh, okay.
But this ship was built 24 tons of scrap steel from the World Trade Center. It is the fifth in a new class designed for missions that include special operations against terrorists. It will carry a crew and 700 combat-ready Marines delivered to shore by a helicopter and assault craft. It's a spiritual moment for everybody there. And then the guy that was the founding operator said, when the World Trade Center first steel arrived, he touched it with his hand and hit him on the back of my neck stood up. They knocked us down, but they can't keep us down. We're going to be back. The ship's motto is never forget.
Usually I like to make a little humor, but this is all serious.
This is
why you and I went in the military. This is why we gave to our country and all that. So, no, I'm not going to make any humor on that. One of the negative things about our show is because I really have no script at all, and you're a little more organized, I almost forgot what I was talking about. But
luckily
came back to me again. No, I skipped that. Now I'm talking about January 23rd.
Oh, okay. You're right.
And we're going to have I've already contacted the chief of the fire department here in Oceanside. They're going to send some hook and ladders up and all kind of stuff. The chief of police of Oceanside may be coming down, one or two squad cars. The mayor of Oceanside is going to be coming down and give a little statement. I left a message, New York Mike, San Diego Harley-Davidson. He's not returned a call yet. He's out of the area, though. But I'm sure he'll return it because I want to give him a chance to make a little speech.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty full veteran, too. And I thought it would not be inappropriate if we had Fred Z.
No.
The Bikers for Christ.
Pastor.
Pastor Fred Z.
Right.
What do I call him? Fred Z.
Fred Z, but we call him Pastor Z, but it's okay. Everybody knows who he is.
All right. Well, he's the minister of the founder of Bikers for Christ.
He also has a very interesting story, you know, that when they presented that sword that looks like a cross.
Yeah.
He had it on the back of his three-wheeler, standing straight up.
He almost went to jail for that.
He almost went to jail.
That's a felony.
It was a cross. It was a cross.
Yes, but it wasn't mounted permanently to the sissy bar.
Wow.
If it's anti-detachable, it can be considered a weapon. He had a cross, and therefore they must put him in jail. He kept saying, as a minister, finally they gave him a chance. You take it home immediately and take it off. It's your only warning you get.
Right.
It's a minister.
Right.
Having a cross.
We got a caller, so let's see who the caller is, Bill. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up? Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Evo, how you doing, man? You still cold over there?
Yeah, pretty cold, unfortunately. Well, it could be
what
worse.
What is it, Bill? 60 degrees with a light, slight breeze?
My bike's outside. I have a Levi's shirt and my Pendleton on. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's cold, huh?
Yeah.
Man, can you come and pick me up in one of those stealth bombers?
We were talking earlier about all the toy runs and all that, and it seems lately we've become like social butterflies. Can't beat all the events and all that. How, this time of the year, how buried are you with all the social events going on?
Over here.
Yeah, over there, brother.
Man, I ain't really got down and done anything as yet, you know, because I don't know really where to contact with to help out in that or anything, you know.
Are you talking on a Skype or on a cell phone?
No, I'm calling on my house phone.
Oh, okay. You sound a little better now. Thank you.
You're clear now. We're having a hard time hearing what you said earlier. Well, we'll get you back. That's good. Listen, do you get a couple months of good weather over there? I'm kind of curious about that. How often do you get to ride your bikes over there?
Well, you can do it, you know, it doesn't snow over here that much, you know, down south, but you can do it for about a good 9 months at least, you know.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
It's not
here,
like
we get to do it year-round.
I mean, you could probably do it now. I mean, it's just a little bit icy. You know, it's not like Sweden or Canada or anywhere like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, it's all good, you know?
Uh-huh. So, you got any burning desires, anything you want to pitch, talk about? You know, hold on 1 second. You know, Bill, he's got an interesting story about going through the airport.
Which airport?
You want to tell that story about the airport?
Which airport
are
you talking about?
No, okay. I was going for an airport in I travel back and forth to Jamaica quite a bit, yeah? Excuse me. But I travel back and forth to Jamaica quite a bit. And I had a girlfriend over there, and, you know, and you see her over there all the time without any problem. Now, as I was saying, one time I go over there and we get rushed by police who want to look in our suitcase. And we think, all right, Jamaican police, no problem, okay? No problem with the Jamaican police. They were behaving like gentlemen. And then out of nowhere, we have these jerks on the British High Commission come in and get involved. And they start, you know, like,
they say why they wanted to get involved?
Why do they want to get involved? Well, you know what, Philip? They just give us some bullshit answer like, hey, they can get involved. They can do this. They can do that because they work with the Jamaican Constabulary for us. But what I said to them was like, hey, look here, asshole. Are you a police officer? Are you a police officer? And they were like, no, we work with the police. I couldn't care whatever. You're just a plastic two-bit, you know, rat, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
You're either a police officer or you're not. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's not even their job. That is not the job of the British High Commission to go around busting the balls of their citizen. That is not their job. Their job is meant to be there for issuing passports and visas, you know.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So what happens is they search everything. They go through my stuff and they start looking at some of my support or wearing my books and start giving us funny looks. I go over to the count. I go around the block where they wanted to scan my laptop, for Christ's sake.
Uh-huh.
And next thing I know,
wasn't loaded with porn, was it?
You know, they're not actually allowed to look into your laptop and have a look what's in there.
No, they got to have a warrant.
Yeah. I didn't even turn it on, and if they ask me and they ask me for the password, I'll tell them to fuck off because they cannot do that. The only thing that's on there is some videos, a bit of music and stuff, music videos, you know, and some movies, you know. And none of that stuff, porn film. No need to swear. So I scanned that, and as I was there, I come back, and everything was clear. They never found nothing, you know?
Right.
And we have another disagreement again with one of the assholes, like, hey, we can do this. There's a lot of drugs coming in and out. It's like, so, hey, why did you stop me? Why didn't you stop all these people over there? Huh? What's your problem? And he starts asking me about my passport. Why have I been to Brazil back and forth? Well, doesn't the fact that I'm Hispanic and my name's Hispanic tell you that I do go back and forth to Brazil? You know what I mean? Doesn't the fact that my surname, Santos, give you some inclination into that?
Well, Bill and I are both Caucasian, and they like to ask us a bunch of stupid questions, too.
Yeah, but I mean, they're asking me why I'm going back and forth to Brazil, you know?
Well, we tell them we're going from point A to point B.
Every time we cross back into America from Mexico, it's like the third degree, fourth degree, fifth degree, whatever you want to call it. We go into Mexico, they don't bother us, welcome to Mexico. Coming back into my own country, born, raised, military, where were you at in Mexico? What did you do in Mexico? How long are you in Mexico? Your only choice, your only question should be to me is, are you an American? Let me in, get on my way. For me to get back into my own country, they harass the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill had a guy...
They was even like telling me I couldn't even go back there if we didn't follow their questions, didn't answer their questions significantly. Anyhow, what happened next was, let's say we was around there. I think we checked in. And
they try and needle you?
Know, I was, sorry, Philip?
Yeah, did they try and needle you?
No. That was on a separate occasion where they piss tested me.
Okay.
I go back there and everything was done. I said to my girlfriend as we were checking in and stuff, hey, what's the problem? What's going on? And he goes, You know what them said? They go, that one there, that guy with the brown hair there, the tall one with the pink shirt. I said, yeah. He goes, he tried to hit on me, and he starts saying stuff like, hey, what you doing with a guy? Like, the guy looks like he's got mental problems. He looks like a fool. Why don't you, like, try and check one of us guys out? You know? And I was like, you gotta be fucking joking.
Yeah, that sounds like they were trying to needle you, man.
Yeah. Basically, as we were saying before, they were trying to bait us up to get me to do something, isn't it, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, she told me, like, long, you know, like we was on the plane. So,
right.
There wasn't really any way going back. She goes, I couldn't believe what they were saying, and they were like, you know, they were like saying, where did you meet him? I met him on Facebook. Well, you need to go back to Facebook. Hey, what about me, or what about my partner there? He's a nice guy. You know?
Yeah, sounds like they had nothing to do.
Sounds like they need a good can of ass whipping, you know?
Yeah.
And
so what was the outcome?
Well, I put in a complaint and everything. In fact, I can send you the same thing with the email and everything, because that was fresh off the time it happened, you know? And I can send you the email and what happened there, and you have all the story there and what they said back. Well, they responded by saying that when I emailed them back, we'd like to know who it is, and I sent them back and described the officers and stuff, because they didn't wear any name badges, you know?
Right.
And they gave Well, I don't even think the name they gave was real, you know. So,
further
inquiries are being made there. Well, we're supposed to be, but I never heard anything. So, I'll send email after an email and I ain't even heard anything. So, I spoke to a police officer in the UK about it, and who were doing a show, and they invited me over there to look at everything. Started talking about anti-burglarized devices and stuff like that. And he said, is there any problems? I told him about the store, and he said, man, you want to have a look at that? That sounds real bad. That's completely out of hand, he started telling me. And he says, I wouldn't let that go. That is pretty serious, and there could be pretty serious offenses for those guys who have caused you this amount of discomfort. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah,
but
you deserve what you...
Sorry?
Yeah, you deserve what you tolerate. Right, Bill?
You give in to them one time, you give in to them next time. You got to draw the line in the sand and stand up for your rights.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they just think they were just acting completely out of hand. And the point is, the British High Commission are not police officers. The Jamaican Constabulary are more than able to do their job, you know.
Right.
I don't even think, I doubt if the U.S. Border Patrol would even treat you like that. You know what I mean?
No. Not really.
How do you get the border patrol? I see most law enforcement over there are a whole sight better than what's going on in Jamaica kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I got something here. Let me see if I can locate it. But everything I read you...
No, you're talking about the... do you have like a passport that's got, you know, many, many hits on it? So maybe when they check your passport, they saw you been back many, many times. That's why they were putting pressure on you, or you think you just got yourself an idiot for a cop?
I think it was an idiot for... Well, he wasn't even a cop, you know?
Yeah.
Because, look, I mean, I got stopped by them assholes again. They wanted to piss sample. So, and then, like, after they'd done that, they told the police officer, kind of, like, whispered in his ear. And even the Jamaican cop was like, I don't know why he's doing that. You know, I said, so what the fuck are British High Commission got authority here? They ain't working with you, and you go, yeah, I know. I don't know why they're here, to be honest, because it's totally out of the normal. And they said, they asked us to piss sample, so that's what we're going to do. So,
well, you know, it's like this, man. We got a guy here that we know, he's passed on, but he paraphrased this, and it's real good sentiment.
I think it strikes the nail right on the head.
Right on the net. It's not putting the badge on the cop that makes him a prick. It's the prick and the guy that makes him want to put on the badge.
Yeah.
And that says right to it.
And as I say, as I told Bernie, you know, most cops are guys that couldn't pass the fireman's test.
Oh, shit, here we go. Starting shit now. Starting shit.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the way I think about it.
You said Eva was like 30 miles outside of London, or what's your...
How far are you outside of London?
Eva, we lose you?
We might have lost him.
And the Jamaican police
put
him down there beating the hell out of him or something. You're right there,
yeah.
I know.
No, he might be in with a couple of bobbies. And then we have Jan's in the room.
Jan's in tonight?
Yeah. Hello, Jan. How are you?
The Jamaican police got her, too.
Yeah, maybe they got her, too. But the other thing we were going to talk about, Bill, was...
I had a couple of...
I got a thing from John Delfano, the new changes to the traffic laws.
That's kind of important. Let's touch that a little bit.
I got one from Mac. I got one from Betsy, who goes by Gypsy. And I think the best one that would probably give us the most effect right now is the one from John, where it says drivers under 21 who want a permit for a motorcycle will need to complete a safety course under a new law announced by the Department of Motor Vehicles Wednesday. The law means that anyone younger than 21 will have to complete a motorcycle safety course before they can get a permit to practice driving on a motorcycle. They need to have the permit for 6 months before they will be issued a Class M motorcycle driver's license. The other laws that take effect from the DMV include the Traffic Violator School Program. Drivers with traffic violations will take court-approved courses online and at home in addition to going to traditional classrooms. This law will take 3 years to implement. So in other words, the 18 months is going to go to 3 years?
Yep.
High occupancy vehicle lanes, instead of expiring on January 2011, the sunset date for hybrid vehicles with yellow stickers will expire on July 1st. Those with white stickers on non-electric and compressed natural gas vehicles will expire on January 1st, 2015. A third sticker will be created for the plug-ins. It will be valid from January 12th until January 2015. The new firefighter endorsement, which is the law, will make operators of firefighting vehicles exempt from the commercial driver's license program. We have created a new license endorsement for the process. Are they taking care of their own on that one?
I'll cover that up all the way.
Laws that take effect July 1st or later include the organ donation. The application for a driver's license will include a no option when asking whether an applicant wants to register or a possible organ donor. Applicants will have to answer either yes or no in the organ donor registration field. And in the local traffic ordinance, local authorities will not be able to enact or enforce the local ordinance on a matter covered by the California vehicle code. The new law is in effect to ensure that traffic convictions are properly recorded by the DMV. And in driving under the influence starting January 2012, drivers convicted of a third or subsequent DL violation could lose their license for 10 years. Reinstatement will be possible after 5 years if specific conditions are met.
I hate that word, by the way. Specific.
I hate it too.
Twist my tongue now.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you something. I've been in the DMV getting some new information. I got the California Motorcycle Handbook, English version, because, you know,
right.
I am. Now, I'm going to ask you something. And
well, did you notice, though, when you got this English version, you have Swahili, you have Farsi, you have
Oriental,
Vietnamese,
yeah.
You have Japanese,
Mexican, and
Mexican.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, let me ask something to see if there's anything that you don't know.
And you know where the English one is. It's on the bottom.
Okay. I'm going to ask you, tell me if you think anything seems kind of funny.
Sure.
Your motorcycle needs to fit you. Your feet should reach the ground while you're seated on the motorcycle. At minimum, your street legal motorcycle must have, are you with me now?
Go ahead.
Tires with sufficient tread for safe operation. You agree with that one?
Sure.
Headlight, taillight, brake light, and turn signals.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Front and rear brakes. You know what that law?
Right.
A horn and two mirrors.
Right.
We always had one mirror on the left-hand side. That was
now
not required. Now, for the first time, all these bikes were well, one mirror on the left-hand side. Don't do it. It's going to be a pain in the butt.
You know, it's like Jan typed in that they make the drivers sound like commercial drivers.
Yeah, I want to talk here also.
Commercial operators.
Okay. To control a motorcycle well, that's what they're telling us now, posture. Sit so you can use your arms to steer the motorcycle rather than hold yourself up. Well, I have to disagree with that completely. For my motocross, desert, and hill climbing days, I broke up my tailbone pretty, it's fractured an awful lot. I lean slightly forward beyond the risers to take all the pressure off. I think that there is no one answer for anybody riding a motorcycle. See, it doesn't matter about your height. It doesn't matter about your weight. We are all the total embodiment of all the injuries in our life. Off the swing in the second grade, high school football, construction. These are injuries you have to adjust when you ride a motorcycle. You cannot go by one set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
We call it Kennedy's Custom Cycles, Kennedy's Triangle. Seat, handlebars, and foot pegs. It has to be perfect for you or you cannot make long trips. They're saying for the seat, sit far enough so your arms are slightly bent when holding the handlebar grips. Bending your arms permits you to press on the handlebars without having to stretch.
Right.
Well, those of us with injuries, though, I have to stretch forward to take the pain off. All right. hold the handle grips firmly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I know long-distance riding, we keep our hands very loose.
Yeah.
So the vibration, I think, will put them to sleep. But start with your right wrist flat. So you won't accidentally use too much throttle. Yeah, okay, all right. Also, adjust the handlebars so your hands are even with or below your elbows. You can't say things like this, folks. Every one of us has different injuries.
Exactly.
You have to set this for yourself.
Well, I guess they're telling you you can't ride if you have injuries, Bill.
That's what they're trying to get rid of. Keep your knees against the gas tank always with your balance as you turn the motorcycle. Well, I think when I'm in a bad curve and I've overstretched it, I squeeze my gas tank, I'll admit that.
Yeah, I do too.
Feet. Keep your feet firmly on the foot pegs for balance. I don't always do that at all. Don't drag your feet. Well, that makes good sense. In fact, that's my pet peeve, to see people drive off dragging their feet.
Well, my pet peeve is the guys we see wearing flip-flops.
Oh, yeah.
And they wonder why they broke their toes or ripped them off.
Fingers and toes. One accident, you're not covered, you're going to lose them like that. Oh, don't point your toes downward. They may get caught between the road and the foot pegs. Well, I agree with that because I've got injuries with that, but there's some people I know that have to have their feet down with that, so that's not a bad deal. They've got a lot of different rules, which I'm not going to go over all of them, but John Del Santo's got some excellent nice suggestions in here. I want to talk about, I made a few more notes over here. Yeah. Only experienced riders should carry passengers.
True, I agree with that.
And Screwdriver and I are here tonight, everybody within the sound of our voice, if you have a beautiful girlfriend and you don't have the experience and you want her to be part of the program, contact Screwdriver and I, and we will take your girlfriend. We are experienced riders. You have no problem whatsoever. If you're inexperienced, do not take your girlfriend. Contact us. This is what we do for you, our friends.
That's it. But when I have this, like, Bill and Philip, that's our name.
Yeah.
We're here to help.
We are a river to our people. I also want to point out that, I'm not going to get off the book here, if you are inexperienced and you have a passenger, have the passenger lay on your back. It keeps the weight in front of the rear
axle.
And
I like that girl that fell asleep on mine all the time.
Yeah, a lot. Because she kept her weight forward on you, you, her, and the motorcycle acted as one. I see a lot of new riders get on the back, and the passenger leans back on the sissy bar. That dissipates the weight. It changes the angle beyond the rear axle.
Uh-huh.
And also, let's see, back in Vegas, who was that?
Jan sent you a message. She says that we should say something controversial.
Well, my offer to take every other girl out, that's not controversial yet. Okay, well, all right. DMV wants you to keep your legs away from the muffler chains or the moving parts. That's for you, I guess.
No, actually, I can show you how to ride one like a jet ski.
Keep the group small. Well, now that doesn't do for us. Sometimes going down to Mexico, we have large groups of people going down there.
Well, we just saw what happened to keeping the group small a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking now, of course, about our good friends at Saddle Tramps.
Saddle Tramps, which we had a nice conversation last week with the president.
Coyote, I think he's going to come back again. And I also want to point out the fact that we've talked about this. If you're worried about motorcycles being dangerous and surfboards being dangerous and cars and trucks and airplanes.
Taking a shower is dangerous, Bill.
Exactly. Dig the deepest hole you want, ladies and gentlemen. Jump inside it. I assure you, if it's your day, the damn hole will cave in on you. It's your
day. There's no negotiation.
Do not be afraid of life.
You know, the other day, Bill, the other day I was at work and I went over to see some guys on the other side and I walked up. And one of my guys had jumped up and I went, what the hell is he doing? Guy just keeled over. He had a stroke. He's unresponsive in intensive care right now. But yeah, you never know. I mean, the guy was he built like a brick shit out, big guns on and everything. Next thing you know, just keeled over.
You know, a couple of years ago, we were down in Ensenada, and we're down a friend of mine. He rides one of those late model Indians. You know, not a real Indian, kind of one of those after thing Indians came out there. We get down in Ensenada. Checked into the hotel, the Mission San Isabel, you remember that is down there?
Right.
He, I don't think you were with me that trip for some reason, but maybe you did. He didn't join us for dinner, so we went to the bar, we hung out, you know, late, came back, and he's an old guy, your age. So
yeah,
I figured that he'd join us for breakfast. Well, by breakfast time, he wasn't with us.
No, he wasn't with us.
So we went and got the hotel manager, we got the keys, and he died right there in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
He got to the hotel, parked his bike, went upstairs, took a short nap, never recovered.
Never woke up.
What could he do? He could have stayed home. He would have died there. But why be afraid of things?
Exactly.
Now, let me tell you about Mexico a little bit. We were able to get the body out of Mexico, Diddy Mao, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It took months to get the motorcycle out.
Right.
They were more concerned keeping the damn motorcycle in than the guy's body and all that. That's Mexico.
That's like anything else. You get on there with a nice car.
Oh, nice car. Or a truck.
Yeah, better have some cash in your pocket.
You don't take a nice car or truck to Mexico.
So
they need it more than you do.
You know, it's just like right now, Bill. We have, Germany, we have 28 people tuned in.
Deutschland's got that Autobahn. I love the Autobahn.
We got Canada, we got Slovenia, we got China. There's your one guy in
China.
Hey,
China.
We got one guy in Kuwait right now.
I love the Chinese people. I hate your government.
One guy in the Netherlands, one guy in Russia.
They're all okay. They're good, yeah.
And then for, we have Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
We have France. We have South Korea.
South Korea, we
Australia,
love you. We hate
Germany.
Your northern neighbors, though.
Australia, Germany.
North Korea, kiss my ass. South Korea, you're all good to us, buddy.
Yeah, Russia. United Kingdom, South Korea.
Yeah.
We're doing pretty good.
I got one for you now. You ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Any person who willfully flees or attempts to evade a police officer performing his or her duties is guilty of a misdemeanor punishable by imprisonment in a county jail for not more than 1 year.
Uh-huh.
I want you to know this because, you know, we never know about you. If a person is convicted of causing serious bodily injury during the course of a police pursuit, he or she is subject to imprisonment in a state prison for 3, 5, or 7 years, or in a county jail for not more than 1 year. But I don't think that's choices. I think they make the choices.
They make the choices.
A fine of not less than $2,000.
It depends on the severity and what you did.
No more than $10,000. But they can also give a fine and a prison. Any person convicted of killing anyone during the course of a police pursuit, he or she is subject to imprisonment in state prison for 4, 6, or 10 years. So just pull over and just go with the program.
Right. Somebody just typed in that they're all wanting me and you for our email address so they can spam your butt.
You know, if you say nothing or if you do nothing, nobody criticizes you.
Right.
If you do anything, you leave yourself open for critique.
Exactly.
That's okay.
Exactly. I mean, like right now, Charlie just walked in with some food. He's probably going to sit down and eat and listen to us. And then maybe when he's done eating, he'll give us a call.
Good. Maybe, Charlie, I got a question for you. The California Motorcycle Handbook.
And I got something to show you, Bill.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and talk
Let me show you this here because I want people to see this here. California Handbook. You see the DMV, State of California logo and everything?
Right.
I'm going to open the page up, and I'm going to ask you, what do you see?
An advertisement for cycle gear.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to open up the last page. Motorcycle insurance, advertisements. Eagle Rider
Rental
Insurance. Now the state of California's got to the point in life where they're taking ads out and commercials on their paperwork. Can you believe that one?
Right.
That's the first time I've seen that one. I wanted you to catch that. You get a kick out of that. I have had a Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside. My brother and I, Mike and I, own a bike shop. And I want to tell you, the atmosphere among all of our friends is down.
Right.
I've got some very, very rich friends that are staring at the walls because no matter what they do, they're not making it. And every day they're losing it. These are not friends that have problems with drugs, no alcohol problems, no gambling problems. These are just friends of mine that because of the economy, they're losing everything they got, a piece at a time.
Right.
This is not just affecting us in California. It's nationwide, worldwide.
They should advertise this in there, Bill.
Oh, Lordy, 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 Lordy.
You want to describe what
you're looking at? No, I don't want to describe that at all. Not even. That's on you.
Because they're heading to Walmart, Bill.
No, that's on you.
They're on a three-wheel John Deere tractor. This chick is wearing, it looks like hot pants. Real small shorts. She's got to weigh about 250 pounds. Wearing a push-up bra. Old boy's wearing a vest. His beer belly looks about the size of one of those tires, huh, Bill?
Yeah. That looks like an original Harley front end extended. It's got a mechanical front brake on it, yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell's he got a mechanical front brake? It don't work. Here's a typical story. Typical image. An older biker with a younger girl. You know, well, that's okay with me.
And then, I'm looking for that picture right now.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm gonna find it.
We have another event coming up here in April. Did I mention that to you?
Yeah, and then we got a question for you, Bill. What if a cop does that killing?
Oh. Then he goes, after he shoots him, the guy falls down. He says, stop or I'll shoot. There you go. That's all I can say.
Right. You know, and then the other thing I was going to touch on, Bill, is Charlie's listening, but we got something going where I hooked them up with Michelle, so they had a nice conversation.
Oh, Michelle, she's a firecracker.
Yeah, they had a nice conversation the other day. And
Charlie's wife don't find out about that. He's a nice guy.
Charlie's his
manager.
Right.
Yeah.
And
that was humor.
Okay.
All right.
And what is going to happen is she's going to do that thing in March. We're going to help her with that. And then Charlie's going to do that thing.
You want to tell them what that thing is, everybody?
Yeah,
okay, go ahead. All right.
Feeding America. So they want to do it in May, probably on the 14th, I think it's a Saturday. And they want us to do one from here, so we do it live.
I like the idea of it spread across the country and all the same day, all the same thing going on.
Yeah.
Great for publicity.
Right.
Hmm. But we got to do a little barnstorming on that one. In April, by the way, we have an event, you and I, don't forget, the VA hospital in San Diego. We're leading a large group of them, including a lot of vets in the wheelchairs. They're all going to come up in the big buses to a grand opening of a vet center here in Oceanside.
Right.
I talked to the mayor about that. He's going to come out and declare it Paralyzed Vets Day in Oceanside. I've talked to a lot of the powers to be. I want to thank the American Legion riders who have really stepped up and given me a lot of help. I know Pastor Fred Z is going to be there to give us some help on that, too. The reason Screwdriver and I are always trying to get more people involved is to put an event on, it takes a lot of hats,
mm-hmm.
and we need to spread them out to other people, so we appreciate that.
There's a picture of Charlie and Sonia with one of the representatives of the Durham chapter, and then the next picture is Sonia with Charlie with Sonny, and then that's a picture of Charlie and Sonia together.
Well, Sonia's a very beautiful girl.
Exactly.
Charlie's kind of run down, didn't he? He looks pretty old. Jeez, that guy looks like, oh, my God, I don't know. I think they could have done something for, the, you know, touch it up or something, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure he just picked it up. So
he's just loving you, man. At this point, he's just loving you.
So we've got in January two or three events going on. April, I got events going on. And you want to see if we can coordinate this in May.
Right.
What is your thoughts for a destination?
I was thinking we talk to Mike. Bringing it up from Mike's.
Or Sweetwater upstairs.
Sweetwater would be better.
The whole second floor. We
the
can
whole
have
second
all that.
Floor.
Yeah.
You're right.
That
I forgot about
some,
that.
Yeah, that Mike doesn't have that much of a... He had the little parking lot.
Right. I forgot about
that. Yeah,
that
may be something... I take some of the solo angels across the border, bring some of our Mexican brothers and sisters in.
Yeah.
Those that can afford church to come across. We can bring music upstairs because we. Yeah, that may be a good thought.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll put their next schedule. We'll give Anastasia and Mariana, the owners of Sweetwater Harley Davidson. Although she gave us carte blanche to put anything we want in their shop, that's kind of nice.
Right. So
we'll give them Michelle, and we'll figure something out with that. And
right.
We need to get the cameras in there. We need to get the TV people.
Right.
Newspapers, magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you and I take a run down. We'll check out the amount of space we have to put this event on.
Well, the upstairs holds about 500 people, though.
Yeah. I mean, take the 500, take the space and break it down into the band here, the food here, something like that.
Right.
Our time. Maybe you take a run down.
They have they have a barbecue up there. They have a pit. They have a stage for a little band. They have a lot of things up there. Mm-hmm. And the parking lot can hold a lot
of
people.
Course, they got the elevator.
And the elevator.
Friends of ours that are having trouble, you know, with their mobility.
Absolutely.
Like you.
Yeah, okay. And then right here, we got...
What's Charlie going to do?
I haven't gotten to Charlie yet. He's probably finishing up his food, but...
Does he got a location, you think, or anything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he'll join us here in a bit and tell us what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But let me see. I'll send him a message.
I haven't had dinner tonight. Ask him.
No, I don't want to ask.
What he's having for food?
I haven't eaten yet myself. I don't want to know. People start hearing noises in their stomachs. And then, but like Jan said, what if the cop did that shooting? What do you think about that?
Well, it'll be covered up, Jan. That's exactly what's going to happen. It'll be covered up. The only way it could get back on them, if there were eyewitnesses willing to come forth, who took a camera or something. If not, it'll be covered up like it's been covered up in every state, every day of every year of every week.
Well, you know, there was just
it's
a big...
always covered up.
Yeah, there was just a big...
The Great Wall of Silence. The
right,
wall of
there
silence,
was just a big thing last week. Let me locate it real quick. But it was about a Marine. He happened to be a member. He just came back. He was from his third tour, I think it was. And he had to... he was sitting on the porch, and he got tasered. And while he was down there on the ground choking, the lieutenant pumped 340 cals into his chest and got promoted to captain.
Well,
they just settled the lawsuit with his family for, I think it was $875,000 or something like that. Let me see if I can locate it here real quick. But, yeah, I mean, they're taking care of their own, man.
That's been taken for granted. I do object to the fact that these lawsuits, when the police are being held accountable, and yet these officers that are causing them the misappropriate action or the non-appropriate action, they're not being chastised, or the pay's not coming out of their paycheck.
No.
If it's $850,000, you said something?
$875,000.
Okay, yeah. $1,000 a month out of their paycheck. Something. Make it fair.
Make it fair.
Why should I be the taxpayer, you know?
Absolutely. And then, it might have rotated out of the post, but let me get back to this real quick. There was one I wanted to tell you about, Bill. I received this email the other day. It's about California, and it's called California STEP Act. You're going to enjoy this one when I get it up right here.
Okay. Well, we're talking about this here. Philip, you are required to take testing, right? Drug testing, right?
That's right.
You're a tax. You work hard. You pay your taxes and all that.
Right.
And part of that tax money goes to people on welfare, unemployment, and they don't have to be tested for nothing.
No.
You work, and you're required to live life a certain style and be tested for drugs and all that. And yet, anybody on welfare, anybody on food stamps, they're not required to be testing. Is this totally backwards or what?
Yes.
For God's sakes. If you're working, making good money, I don't care if you're having a drink or something like that. I want you to stay working.
Right.
But the people out there that, I thought that was quite paradoxical in my life.
Right. We have a caller, Bill. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello?
Okay, I'm
see, you scared them off again. I told you. You got a mean-sounding voice.
I'm going to bring in the other caller. People. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello?
Hey. Let me lay this on you, see what you think about this.
Good evening.
Yeah.
That's Evil E. He's calling back from
England. Oh, we found him.
Yeah,
okay.
Calling back from England. But in California, they have, it's called the California STEP Act, Bill. And the STEP is a procedure to show knowledge that an individual belongs to a criminal street gang. Here's how it's done. The officer serves you notice of determination on the person he... not anybody else,
mm-hmm.
him, he turned his blog to a criminal street gang. This notice informs you, you are hereby notified that the above mentioned, written in by the officers, motor club or whatever, name, is a criminal street gang engaging in a pattern of criminal activity within the meaning of Penal Code or Section 186.22. He completes a proof of service by including your photo and fingerprint as a gang member and why it's done. If the agency step who designated a gang member, the element prior knowledge can then be easily proved. The prosecutor will be able to show that you were given notice to the commission of the crime for which the defendant is being prosecuted. They can then lay the foundation and enter, and number three is enter the form into evidence, photo, amp, fingerprint, the whole shot. If you are detained for a traffic stop, never accept a notice signed for a traffic violation, but don't be tricked into agreeing to a lesser charge in lieu of signing the notice of determination. You don't have to give them a thumbprint, and you
never.
Don't have to give them a photo.
Never.
Educate the officer. Inform him that you're a member, friend, associate, or supporter of a motorcycle club. But here we get into the nitty-gritty. The important legal info is, when you ask to comply with an officer's request, before talking to the officer or giving up your rights, politely inform him that if your attorney gives you permission to do so, you will be willing to comply with the officer's request. However, you have made a commitment to your attorney to refuse to request these requests prior to consulting with your attorney.
Correct.
When the officer states, I'm going to search you, okay, they are asking for your permission for this search. In fact, it is a request. Do not agree. The response should be, I will not obstruct or delay your investigation, but I do not give my consent for a search.
I've always used it, I do not give you consent. I'm real strong on that.
Now, here we go into the other one. Let them take you to jail. They must have legally made a determination that you are a member, and then some kind of crime must have been alleged against you, and that the crime was for the benefit of the gang. Why is this happening in our bike riding community? Money, with California's current financial disarray and budget cuts, monies are trying to be found to support police associations and lobbyists who benefit from their support. So when they arrest you, you pay your fine, and whatever you pay, they get paid too.
Yeah. It goes back to different states have different requirements, different countries, but you have to know your rights.
Go ahead. You got something you want to add?
Man, that's like they're trying to do a mini RICO statute, isn't it? But worse, actually trying to pin the gang laws onto you, right?
Right. They also had just being hanging around, they can pull up and arrest everybody for street terrorism.
Street terrorism, what?
Right or wrong, Bill?
Absolutely on that. Absolutely. There's so many people, especially here in Southern California, that we know they do
just
not know their rights.
Around, they can arrest you for street terrorism. Oh my
yes.
God!
Yes.
Brother, Big Brother's here.
Big Brother's here, man. You know, it's like we want to find out about the Jan type thing. We want to find out about the largest street gang. She put in the web address. It's in the chat if you want to check it out. I'm going to pull up the video right now. But, yeah, it's the largest street gang in America.
Oh, I think I've already seen that.
Yes.
That was pretty sickening, some of that stuff, wasn't it? Cops tasering people and...
Yeah, this video is not short of...
Well, shortened for the sake of the attention span of the moderate... I lost the rest of that.
Apathetic internet user.
Okay. Well, I've not seen this one. Watch it anyway.
Good.
All right, I will.
It's on for an hour, Bill.
Oh, no, I can't watch it that long.
No.
Yeah.
Well, just see a little bit of this here.
I've seen all of it. I've watched the whole thing. That was pretty informative, that.
You know, in the state of California, when they all went to computers, the police station, I ran down to my local police department and I said, before you put all those pictures of me on the computer file, could I have them for old time's sake? Because you've got 20, 30 years of pictures. And they said they couldn't because every picture I was in had a member of a motorcycle club, one or another. and so protect the other people. I never could get those pictures, but you know what? 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I'd like to see those pictures again because most of my friends are all dead.
You know,
they wouldn't release them to me. That's kind of
sad. Well, it's like when
they
I went
wouldn't
down.
Let you have your own pictures. Oh my God!
Down and sat down with the internal affairs guy. I was standing with some guys, and he slid it out in front of me, and I said, "Hey, can I have that picture?" And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Cause I never smile, and I'm smiling in that one, and everybody says I never smile, huh, Bill?"
That's right. I said all the time, "You're a grump."
And I'm smiling in that picture, and he wouldn't give it to me.
This picture goes back to when my hair was dark, and I'm all gray now, so I want to have those pictures. And again, going back all those years, all those brothers that have all died, at this point in my life, I have more people I call brothers in the graveyard than people I call brothers on the street. I have thousands of friends, acquaintances everywhere. But in the word brotherhood, the brothers I have are more in the cemeteries dead than I have on the street. That's the way times change.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we had a caller, I think it was from Tennessee, but they hung up, Bill. Let me see if that was who I think it was, and I'll have him call back. But, what is it, up to 22, 23 people this year that we know?
Yeah.
Passed away?
A lot of it is cancer.
Yeah.
But we've had two people that lead poisoning,
right.
Gun battles.
Yeah, right.
At our age right now, though, we are losing more people, not so much from the, there was a time when the failure to properly negotiate a curve under the influence of drugs and alcohol. We're losing two people, two patch holders from different clubs a month. But this year, I would say that we still lose because of accidents. It's more cancer, guys our age, my age anyway. Kind of sad. But you know what? I don't see the women dying anywhere. I was thinking about that.
No.
I don't know any women that died this year. Everybody I know is a club brother. Everybody knows a brother from another club or something. And there's no women dying at all this year.
I know quite a few women that have died, actually. Hello?
You know, it's like that thing we did in October, Bill, for the Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
You remember that study they did?
No.
The one where
what?
Three Hummers a week. They spent $11 million on a study that women who swallow after three Hummers are less likely to get breast cancer than women that swallow or don't swallow.
You read some weird stuff. You know, I got kind of, I don't know when you go to sleep. You stay up. You read some weird stuff. You show me the doctor's report. It's there, but you read
there.
Some
it was
weird
true
stuff.
Shit. It was true shit.
Hello, Philip?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you say that you don't know any women that have died, as I was saying, I know quite a few women that have died, actually, this year.
Can I ask you what they died of, if you don't mind?
I think that was cancer, and another couple of them was heart attack, you know, and other diseases.
Yeah, I had a guy just keel over the other day. He's in intensive care, unresponsive. He had a stroke. The machinist.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right
there.
Yeah, I don't like to hear about strokes because my mom had a stroke about 2006.
Sorry to hear that.
1996.
Okay, my mom passed in 2006 from Alzheimer's and Parkinson's together.
She didn't die, but she had a stroke, and it was pretty worrying at the time.
Uh-huh.
Thank God, you know?
Right.
I'll tell you guys a little story. This is not any way to be disrespectful to your mom and all that, nor yours, Philip. But a year ago, a girl came into my shop, extremely attractive young lady, short black dress, black hair. The jewelry was amazing. The detail to her makeup was amazing. What I wanted to say to her was that she came in, she said she's new to the area. And I said, well, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. She says, well, I'm in the jewelry business. I'd kind of like to meet a nice biker. And I said, well, certainly the way you look, there'll be no problem. However, I am somewhat hypocritical. If you got a boyfriend, an old man, I really don't want you hanging out with us. On the other hand, you know, if you're a guy, I'm a little more liberal. I just don't want a girl with baggage hanging around with us. And she said, oh, there's no problem with that at all. I'm a widow.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm sorry to hear that. And I'm going to say this exactly came out of her mouth. Oh, don't be sorry for me, and don't be sorry for my husband. I was on top, going at him. His exact words were, I was fucking his brains out when he had a heart attack and died. And I thought, oh, my God. 2 months later, she got herself a job up in Orange County, and I missed her. But I got to thinking, a young girl married to her, she said, an old guy like me, that's the way the guy went. And I figured, that's not a bad way to go, screwdriver.
No.
No, that's what I was just thinking, too.
Exactly true story. I didn't deviate one iota from that. Crazy. So.
But that would be the perfect way to go.
Yeah, it would be. It's a natural way to go. It's the way God would have wanted you to go, you know?
Man, if I could die of sexual exhaustion, I'd do it now.
Right.
So
I mean,
it's me exhausted, though.
Yeah, you know, it's. I was just showing Bill some pictures here from the toy run up at the clubhouse in San Fernando Valley.
Yeah.
Weeks ago, but not all. I didn't post all the pictures, but I should.
But no, the photographer Sean came in the other day.
Right.
Did he get in touch with you?
Supposed to leave a sample picture.
Yeah, it was the pictures were very weak.
I got so many.
He didn't burst his.
No.
Okay.
Very polite always.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think I got some of those pictures, right?
Yeah, you got some. Yeah, you got the ones that I posted right away. But no, you didn't get some of the ones. Like this girl right here, Bill told me. Well, you didn't pose with me like you posed with the other girls.
I like that girl a lot. She's a nice girl.
Yeah. No, or like right here, I'm talking to Pete. Pete's going to call into the show. He's got some things in the works.
He's got a new movie coming out.
No, we weren't supposed to say nothing about that
yet. Okay, I didn't say that.
We weren't supposed to say nothing about that yet. And then, like, this is one of the pieces that Rusty had. So I'll put some of these pictures are already up, but I'll put the rest of them up. And then this is the Grim Reaper out in front of the clubhouse.
Do you have a picture of one of our mutual friends standing guard in the gate or anything? Was he doing anything that day?
Not at this time, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Not at this time.
Didn't catch one of him or you didn't make it there?
No, I was too busy up on the top doing things with the toys and stuff, Bill. And I apologized to him for that. And I tried to get a picture of him on the way out, but he was helping with Andy and a couple other guys.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing some stuff. He was doing some stuff he had to do. And then we just got...
It's a good time to thank all the San Diego boys that came up to our event.
Right.
They split their crew in half so that one went up to San Bernardino for their organization.
Which,
and yet they were nice enough to send us half of the San Diego crew up to our party on Sunday. So that was
right. That was really good. And we met a lot of interesting people, and we talked to a lot of interesting people.
Right now in California, life is good.
Yeah.
We have very little conflict. Everybody seems to want to try to work it out. Everybody realizes all this constant bickering among ourselves is just, it's hurting us all over.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. As some people tell you and I, the old wounds are hard to heal.
Hard to heal.
And some memories will never be gone. So
no, you want to try and stay out of the politics.
Yeah, but they can't.
No.
But on the positive note, again, right now things are good, so we're happy with that.
Somebody just typed in. I said hello to somebody that called in or wrote in, and I wrote ready. Got it always. That came from out of New York.
Oh, okay.
That's Gimme.
Yeah.
And then I just sent Charlie an email. But maybe we get a caller here. Let me try this one. I know Jan is on there. She wants us to do something controversial, so.
Well, if we had the webcam on, she could see you just took your clothes off. You're sitting there naked next to me. Maybe that'll get her interested.
Sure.
she had her webcam on, I wonder if she can look and see.
Yeah, okay. You know, like right now, you're too much, Bill. But yeah, you know, it's getting ridiculous, Bill. I mean, I can't even, like, when I left the other day.
Yeah.
We got, I got to.
Our party or what?
Yeah, when I left Kennedy.
Okay.
Sunday. I got 6 blocks.
Uh-huh.
Somebody just said, show it, baby. But I got 6 blocks, got pulled over. And the guy, he tried to take my helmet. Now, you know what's on the top of my helmet, though. You remember? The evidence tag that I never
there you
took,
go. You
that I never took
it
off.
That, yeah,
I left it on
there.
So I bent over and I showed it to him and I said, well, are you sure you really want to do that? Because they just gave it back to me. And the judge said that you can't take it. You're allowed to take a picture of it, but I'm not taking it off my head.
Yeah. You know, but you didn't get bad. Assessment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, Paul, are you there?
Yeah, where are you going? Where are you going? It's point A. Where are you coming from?
I checked with everybody there. We had over 300 bikes, not counting the people there, and nobody got a ticket.
No.
A couple was pulled over, but it was okay. It was a good day. Nobody got hassled. Nobody got stopped for a ticket anyway. A few hassles.
And then,
hello.
Somebody... Yeah, go ahead.
I don't see why you should have to be told you have to wear a helmet at all. I mean, it's your bike. You're riding it. You know the risks. I mean, you know more a hell of a lot more about biking than any of these punk cops do. So, well, all these politicians that put out these laws, so why are they putting out laws, stupid laws about cyclists have to wear helmets, whether they like it or not? I mean, we're not kids.
Question that we've been fighting for the last 18 years.
Let me jump in here. This is my opinion on it. If there is a helmet law, then the helmet manufacturers can contribute to those lawmakers that want to keep the helmet law in California. If there is no helmet law and you're giving money to congressmen and senators, that's bribery. But now that they passed the law that says we have to wear a helmet, Shoei and Bell and all those helmet manufacturers can legally send money into re-election for the congressmen and senators. This is what I believe is the reason why we have it today.
True.
Well, I mean, the law isn't. I mean, you can't get away with not wearing a helmet or something in California still, can't you? Or is it the law you have to wear it with? Yeah, you were telling me, but, you know, I mean.
It's a law that you have to wear it, but it doesn't specify what kind you have to wear. We have some geniuses out here that think they're their own Department of Transportation and what you need to wear. But I have the paper from the judge that says I can basically wear, as long as I'm not wearing a tin pot or a baseball cap, I can wear anything I want on my head.
Now, another reason why I think the law was passed, besides the fact they can legally send money to the congressmen, senators, and all that, I believe when it came time for the vote, a lot of American or California bikers didn't bother to get out to vote. However, passing the law for the safety of my children, I believe a lot of parents got out there and voted for that law thinking they were doing their kids a favor. And the damn bikers who benefited from not wearing a helmet didn't bother to get out and vote. That's another reason why I think we got screwed. I could be wrong, just how I feel about this.
Right. Like right now, you know, we've been fighting for, the last 18 years. And we just got some good info out of Nevada where we're going to start challenging checkpoints. I'm going to go out there with one of those little wheels that measures, Bill, and I'm going to measure it. I got all the specs. I'm going to measure everything, make sure it's all right and everything. And then I'm trying to get a hold of the one guy where I can get the paper. And you just hold up to the window that says, I do not consent. You don't have to roll down the window. You don't have to answer any questions.
You know, they always ask that question, can I look in your saddlebag? And I say, I do not give you permission. Their response always is, what, are you hiding something?
What are you hiding? Yeah.
We simply say to them again, I don't give you permission to look in my saddlebag.
No.
I don't have to answer that question.
No.
If they say it's a police order, which they never have, they ask you. It's a question. Stop giving in and shooting yourself in the foot. So I don't understand about people. Every country... Go ahead, you.
It's normally, if you don't give them permission, they normally bring a dog in, don't they, or something like that.
You know, if you're by the side of the road, though, and you got a motorcycle cop with you or a patrol car, they don't usually have the dogs with them. There's only a few dogs, so they would have to detain you long enough to bring the dog all the way out, and unless they really got some probable cause, like you're reeking with something. No, I've never had a dog called up. I just refuse to give permission. They always say, you're trying to hide something. And I said, I'll answer that question again. I refuse permission. They asked my brother a few months riding home to please take off his leather jacket so they could see if he was wearing colors underneath his jacket. Oh. My brother said, I'm not going to take my jacket off. If I was wearing colors, I'd wear them on top of my jacket. They said, well, we'll ask you one more question. Will you take your jacket off so we can photograph your tattoos on your arms? My brother very politely said, one more time, I do not give you permission. I will not take my jacket off. What they then did, say, well, just go ahead. Have a nice day.
Right.
It's not that we're not refusing to cooperate.
I just unmuted.
It's bullshit.
I just unmuted Charlie. Good.
You're just exercising your rights and your confidence.
Yeah, exactly.
Charlie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Yeah, you heard about that. What do you think about that?
I think we should all ride with rattlesnakes in our saddlebags and let them search.
Yeah, that's a good one, Matt. Black Mambas are better.
Every now and then he throws a good one in.
Yeah.
But, I agree. I was reading what you were talking about, the email you sent me, Philip, and you brought this up about 10 minutes ago, I think. And it's about how they go through the process of asking you these questions. It's basically what you're talking about right now. It's all a question and answer process. And, you know, I guess basically they could talk their way into your bedroom if you'll let them. Oh, by the way, since we've got your tattoos, where do you live? Can we just come on by your house while we're here? You know, let me follow you home. Hey, what you got in the fridge? Can we come in and see that? It's a bunch of
That's
questions.
That's when I politely say, hey, you know what? Go fuck yourself. I'm under arrest. I'm leaving.
Right,
well,
that's
I'm under arrest.
Am I under arrest? Yes.
And then you say, if not, then I'm going to leave.
Right. Or am I being detained? No,
well, you
then
stop
I'm
saying
way.
Like that, fuck shit. I'm telling you, that doesn't help you with the police officers.
That's...
You keep throwing it in every time we're out somewhere. I'm saying, use your choice of language just a skosh easier, please.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in jail. I'll be there giving you money for hot chocolate and hair shampoo one day, I swear to God.
Well...
All that love. All that love. See this guy? I know this guy for years. All that love.
If you haven't done anything, then go to jail.
What do they actually do, I mean, after that? Do they try and mess you around and talk your ear off if you say, hey, you're not searching, it's in my motorbike? What do they do? What kind of response do you get from them?
Then they try to be your friend.
Right.
Oh, hey, how's it going? You know, hey, did you go to good rides last weekend? And it's the same tactic. They're trying to get the same answers. Now they're going to switch sides. Good cop, bad cop, flip the script, anything you want to call it. You just got to understand, if it does pertain to you being stopped, you don't answer it. You never say, hey, officer, hope you're having a nice day. And no, it's nobody's business.
No.
They're not looking for friends.
No.
Yeah.
They ask a question to you, but can I see your driver's license? You give that.
You don't
give information out.
Actually, Bill, all you need to show them is your proof of insurance and registration.
Yeah.
You don't have to show them your driver's license. All you're required to do is tell them your name and your birthday.
If we are. Yeah, you're saying that to me right now, and you're saying it very calmly. And these people listen to you. Oh, screwdriver must be nice and calm. You're not that nice in a traffic stop. Why are you acting like that?
No,
people are going to think, oh.
The last time they told me to take off my helmet as they were turning off my recorder and told me they were handcuffing me for my safety. After that's when they decided to take the pistol and the knife out of my pocket. And that's when I noticed that. Sure, turn it off. When I noticed the little red light in the guy's pocket.
Yeah.
And you sat right here when I showed you. They sent me the original.
Right.
They sent me the original CD, not the copy. So when that was part of when I went to court after the city attorney asked me for 2 weeks, so she could get prepared. Seven of them stood to my right and said they were not prepared at this time. Motion to dismiss, Your Honor.
And you and I talked about that. You and I agreed. To give them the extra time out of courtesy.
Exactly.
Out of professional courtesy, they still drop the ball.
They still drop the ball.
But I want these people to understand, again, though, You're not quite always that calm.
No.
I'm a bit more calm, but you are not always that calm. You have a short fuse.
Why?
I don't want Charlie to think, oh,
well,
Charlie
saw me in Tennessee. Hey, Charlie, was I calm and collected when I took care of that little problem we had with the jacket?
Yeah, man, it was very calm and collected, you know. That was,
did
that
I get out of line
perfectly.
Did I turn red? Did I threaten to tear somebody's asshole apart?
No,
no,
that sounds more like you, though.
Know. Yeah, well, yeah.
No, not that I saw, but, you know, that's,
I
might have heard about that
who,
later, but.
Yeah, but the guy who was most pissed that day, Bill,
yeah,
was the guy we're talking to right now.
All right, well.
That's why I stood off to the side and I waited till everybody calmed down and went inside. And that's when I went inside and told the
guy. Well,
I'm saying,
though, in 100 instances, I have 80-90%, you're a little more emotional. I'm just saying the fact.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was a little emotional right here.
When you took your clothes off, you broke down crying?
No,
that
was
sad.
No. Well, my head that was behind us here while we were doing the show.
Well, we work well together. We are like oil and water or something, but it works well together if we're out together. But you're out by yourself, you're always, it's rough. I'm surprised, Charlie, I'm surprised he didn't get you in trouble down there. He gets people that just gets in trouble.
Oh,
but he means well. He's got a good heart.
You know, it's like we're talking about all this, but What I wanted you to call in basically, Charlie, was I wanted to talk about this. You know, when we talked about doing this Feeding America.
Right.
Let's go over that a little bit.
Yeah, Bill and I want to go over that with you because we talked about mics, but we got a better venue, man. You know that place I was telling you about with the rooftop and everything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's where we want to have it. Bill brought it up again today, but that's where we want to have it.
We can use our contacts and get that rent-free. We can get that, so we can cut costs on everything over there.
Right.
A lot of donations.
That's the bomb.
Music. Yeah.
Right.
That would be the bomb.
Like I told you, Bill, the idea is we do the West Coast and the Nashville one at the same time.
I like the idea with the option to expand to other states and still do it the same day every year. And also, like one of the reasons why I like it at the authorized dealership instead of my shop, corporate sponsorship.
Right.
That's got to be the key to everything.
Right.
It doesn't matter how many people we get, it's how many corporate sponsors can we get involved in our program.
And the one thing I want to emphasize to people that are listening, because the people are going to listen to this on the archives, Bill and I are not in this for a buck at all.
No.
All the money that we raise goes to what charity we're helping at that time.
And once again, I'm taking it away from my shop. It's one of the things we looked at, putting the vent in my shop. I'm taking it away. We don't expect nothing out of it. I'm giving it to an authorized dealership down the road.
The only reason,
because the message is more important than the messengers.
Right. And the only reason the ones that we do at Bill's shop, Bill gets the porta potties. Bill supplies
food,
electricity. Bill supplies
manpower,
everything, and we don't get a dime. We don't want a dime.
In fact, I hate going to my own parties. I got to work. I'll go to anybody's else party so I can enjoy myself.
Until they give you the microphone, but that's another story. But what it is we don't take a dime from anything, man. And we do it there, and the only reason that we still have them there, and Bill and Michael and everybody still, all the clubs and everything, the ones that we still have there, because they're annual ones. We're on the 15th. We just had the 15th big cover-up. We've had the diabetes runs take off out of there. We've had the breast cancer runs take it out of there.
Veterans program.
We have all the we have anything to do with vets or active duty Marines. Anything comes out of there because that's what we support, and we don't ask for a dime.
Yeah. Out of the shop, they're using our system, our format, so we can set it up like that. But I try to set things up like the veteran thing in Oceanside. Everything has gone through us, but we won't be up on stage.
Right, unless they call us up.
Well,
like,
just to get things.
Like the other day, they gave Bill a plaque, and I stepped up there with him, and Bill talked, and then I talked, and then handed the mic back. Go ahead. You want to say something? Go ahead.
No. Go.
So yeah, and you know, like me. Bill will tell you, I'm the quiet guy in the back of the room.
He is, he really
and,
is.
And in the last couple of years, since I've gotten more involved in all this shit, I just said, hey, you know what? It's like I said earlier tonight. You deserve what you tolerate, and I'm not taking it anymore. And if anybody, we've had people say, well, you guys are making money, or you guys are using the shop to make money.
Everything's going out. Everything's in the red.
Everything goes to the charity, man. Nothing comes our way. Like right now, we're doing this show. I'm doing this show out of my pocket. Mm-hmm. I'm paying for the show.
That's right.
I got people on here, my friends call them, that have businesses, that have websites. I'm not charging them a dime yet. They've called in and asked, what can we give? What do you need? What help do you need? I don't need anything right now. If I was on hard times or I was laid off or something, then I'd be looking for a handout. But I'm not like that. I want to help.
Screwed up and I've worked our whole lives. We never got that unemployment.
Right.
You and I have worked since we can. We're fortunate to be who we are. Not having anybody give anything to us, we don't have to answer to anybody.
I'll tell you right now, the only time that I took the two times I got hit on my bike bill, but
yeah.
the second time, I took the disability. Because they told me they wanted me to use, I had buku hours of vacation. And they wanted me to use that.
Well, and that's what we're doing here.
Capsulized version of what you're thinking, how you're going to set your program up. Do you have a town? Do you have a location? Anything you share for information to us?
Yeah, our situation here, it's going to run out of Nashville again. And so that's the whole, this is like the mother. It comes out of Nashville. So this year, the second annual, we're hoping to add you guys out there from San Diego, Oceanside right there. And the whole premise is exactly what you're saying. We're not taking any money for this for ourselves. We're just bringing out Feeding America, and we're doing it through the biker network and biker folks that are doing this. And to tie this together, because it is Feeding America, now we've got the heart of the country, which is Nashville, basically, if you look at the map. We're going to bring San Diego in on year two. On year three, we'd like to find out a way to tie in the West Coast, and every year bring on another city, and hopefully it'll just get contagious, and that people will do this and do the food drive and raise the money, and it'll all be about Feeding America. And I am working directly with the folks at Second Harvest Feeding America here out of Nashville, and we are connected to hook this up across the board, so this won't be something that we're just going to do, hopefully, where it's going to be, we're going to have the Feeding America situation going on. They're going to be fully aware of what we're doing. We're doing it with their blessing. We're going to be promoting it with their blessing, and they're backing us up in that way.
Michelle is our workhorse out here, a little fire plug, spark plug.
Well, you know, he not to interrupt you, Bill, but he told me an idea he had with
Michelle?
Yeah.
What?
No, not that kind of an idea.
You should be ashamed of yourself. He's got a nice wife.
Not that kind of an idea.
No, this is just wrong.
Let me finish.
It's just wrong.
No, he was talking to Michelle. Michelle has some contacts that are gourmet cooks, and they want to have a food contest, a cooking contest, you said, Charlie?
Well, in your situation, Michelle said that she has a chef that she works with, and it might not be that particular person. We don't know what scheduling's like. You know, we're wanting to do this on May the 7th. And I do want to try to keep it as a simultaneous thing, because that's what we want. That's the maximum, in my opinion, the maximum force of publicity coming through a national organization like Feeding America is going to be today. This is going on all over the country, and bikers are doing this all over the country today. We could do a bunch of individual events all year long, but we won't get the sting and the impact that I think we would get publicly to get people even aware that Feeding America exists in their community, that they are Feeding America. We're not shipping this food overseas. We're not shipping this money overseas. It's going right into your community. Feeding America is a national organization, but it is in every community. Now, with what you're saying, she's got like a chef, and the idea is because it's called Feeding America, one of the aspects of it is that they have some cooks going on there. And have a guy like that, have a celebrity chef, so you have another reason for people to show up, like you see on these cooking shows. And for our situation here, because Philip was here at the biker bar that we're going to hold it at this year, I think for us, like a little barbecue cook-off might work better than an actual chef. I don't know that. I mean, I would love to have a celebrity chef. But either
and you know
way,
what, Bill?
Incorporating
you know what, Bill?
Food
right
into
in
it
the center
it's
of this
about
place?
Feeding America.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, Charlie, let me interrupt you for a second, but right in the center of this place, Bill,
yeah,
they have a stripper pole.
Yeah. Yeah,
they have a stripper pole, though.
You know, last time Sean and I were talking, we were on the phone last week, and he was saying, you got some outstanding bills you didn't pay back there. Did you ever square that all up?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to find out.
Something
to do with the polls, too. Those,
No. Charlie, back me up on this one, man. That chick that got up there to grab the pole?
Yeah.
It was time to leave, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a bunch of those grandmas up there. Sonia and I were there, I don't know, 2-3 months ago, and that whole competition was going on again, like the 40-plus city contest. And that just gave me another great idea. Feeding America. What better Feeding America than a nice little titty contest on the stripper pole, right? I mean, that's...
Hey, that's titty. See, I
right?
told you, my name's Philip. I'm here to help, man.
Oh, good. Chad, let me ask this question here, because this is... I sometimes put events on certain days for certain reasons. Now, the party we had last Sunday, that was pretty much all club. I have good turnouts on Sunday at my shop because they're club people. When I do a nonprofit organization run, we get better response on Saturdays because these are not club people per se. The non-club people go to church on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking about doing this on a Saturday or a Sunday? I'm just curious.
Well, according to the first email I had from, because I had the first one I have. Charlie, you changed it to the 7th. The one I have says May 14th.
Yeah, it has to be the 7th because the 14th is Myrtle Beach over here on this side of the country, and that kind of blows some of the stuff we're doing out of the water. So the 7th is the day. We try to be in our, because you guys have the great weather. It doesn't matter out there. Over here, this is one
of the. Don't be jealous.
The premise of it is here is that it's one of the first events of the spring where people can really get out. We're going to have a 200-mile round-trip bike ride this year, and among other things that will happen. And so we need to have it in May to make sure that that's a better possible weather situation, and plus the earlier the better, because then as the summer evolves around here, there's so many events in the southeast and all over the coastal areas that people can get to in 8 or 9 hours, it'll conflict. And this is a biker bar, as Philip knows, and to get their full support, it needs to be in between events, and it just always works out that first weekend in May.
Now, Charlie, you did say
my mistake was,
Sunday? I didn't hear that. You talked over me.
Saturday. Always a Saturday.
Okay, fine. I can bring the
religious.
Never
a Sunday.
Yeah, okay.
Because
yeah, never
like,
a Sunday.
Right now, Bill, you know, you remember we were standing there, Rusty said that he would bring the guys down, they'd play for free.
Yeah.
All the money that was raised would go to the charity.
I've got music friends that'll probably, I should be able to make a few phone calls and get some decent, hopefully some high-profile entertainment to pop in on you.
Yeah, because right now these guys travel with all their own equipment, Charlie, so they basically have their own sound system.
You know, we also talked to Mike Riley Band up at the party.
Right.
That's a little different style. He's more of a, I don't want to say southern rock, but... Yeah, a little list there for everybody, I guess.
Okay. Right. So
anyway, keep it simple, three acts, maybe four acts at the most, because you don't want to clog it up with all that stuff. You want three or four at the most. Keep
you
it simple.
You
got to
get the message out. That's what's important.
Well, what we do, Charlie, when we do them is, like, they'll, you know, if we have a band there, they'll play for a little bit. Then they do a little schmoozing with the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, Bill makes them dig a little deeper. I make them dig a little deeper. Then we give out prizes, or we'll do the 50-50, and then the band will play again, and then we might do some more raffle prizes, or we have speakers, or is my friend sitting next to me handing the mic? He can't shut him up, but
hey, I have a message to get out. If I can separate you from your dollar and your pocketbook, that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Well, remember, like it happened here, Philip, you'll have the food drive going, too. You'll have a truck out there, like Feeding America or whoever the,
This year was the biggest turnout for donations we've ever had during this economy.
I spoke to a lot of organizations really reminding them, even though money's tight and all that, what better way to have the holidays to donate something, use clothing and toys, or whatever. Give something that you don't have to spend money on.
Right.
It'll make you feel better. It'll help the homeless. And people gave and gave, more so than when the economy was good. It was amazing.
Right. And we told them, I've been telling them for the last month and a half, almost, I think a month and a half, a little over a month, that instead of cleaning your closet out in spring, clean it out now.
Yeah.
Right.
And there was shoes, there was socks, there was clothes, there was blankets, there was pillows.
You know, let me interrupt you. One homeless person, you see those sandals there, the flip-flops?
Right.
Some homeless guy came in and went to that manufacturer, and I don't know the name of the manufacturer. He got 100 sandals donated, a homeless
right.
guy. Homeless, he gave it to us.
Right.
That was amazing, you know?
So, you know, this thing, Charlie, about waiting until 2012, I don't think we're going to wait until 2012. I think we're going to do it in 2011, coast to coast.
That would be great. Let's knock it out.
Yeah, and what I want to do, what I want to do is we'll schedule a show and go live. And I can
yeah.
hook that up with there, just like we're doing it right now.
Charlie, one
yeah,
thing I very much like is after this event comes out, I'd love you to pass
really?
All the information to us regarding your event on paper somehow, and we will pass all the information that how we've done the event, scheduling time-wise, size of building, every information you can get so we can have access to each other's information. Perhaps I can glean some new information I didn't see before, and we'll give all of our information to you always. Okay, guys?
That sounds good, and it also, you know, because we're working with a national entity here, you got. I'm going to hook
hello?
You guys up with that. However, that's going to happen as far as like, hello?
Hello?
Yeah. This event that you were talking about, where's it happening at?
California.
And
oh,
Nashville.
Okay.
Oh, Charlie, I'm sorry. This is Evil Lee out of London.
Yeah, hey, Evil Lee, how you doing, man?
Oh, Charlie, how you doing?
Doing
and,
good.
No, we're going to, well, what we're talking about, Evil, is we're going to do the same event on the same day in two states. That's
oh,
what we're talking about.
I'd like to try and make one of them if I can.
Sure. I mean, we're talking about, like Michelle, the girl we're talking about, she's going to do something on St. Patrick's Day, but it's going to be called Rock to Stop the Violence, and it's going to be St. Practice Day, which means that they want you to practice this on those days. You know, basically it would be every day, but that's what she wants to do. One in, and she also wanted to do the Feeding America event at the same time, and I talked to her. I said, no, we'll do that one in May because we want to coincide with Baker. And I don't want to try and, you know what I mean, back to back. May's not that
yeah,
far from
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah,
like
I talked to her
weeks.
About that, so she's cool trying to work something out and working with you guys on that. And that's
well,
what I was saying
cool
about the
whole
Feeding America thing, because it's an entity, that's a national organization, and I'm going to hook you guys up with that through our contacts here in Nashville, and then we'll filter that right into your pocket, and then you guys will know exactly who you're dealing with, and we'll get you the right contacts and the right scenario, because you're going to need those representatives there. They're going to need to bring out a food donation truck, and you're going to want their banners and their whole thing, and we'll get that all hooked up right here through the hub in Nashville.
Right. I'll make some contacts with the veterans groups, and we'll see if we get them out there too.
Yeah, that'd be
great. I like
great.
That idea. You know, we need some type of personal contact, though. Maybe this has grown so big. Maybe Screwdriver, you should go out there to Tennessee out there. I think that. And then, Charlie, maybe send Sony out here to California. And we'll try to get some good contact going this way.
Sony wouldn't. She don't like to go to California. She just hates the West Coast.
Oh.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah, she's not
standing
a big fan
of that. Standing far enough so that left hook doesn't hit you in the mouth.
It takes a minute for the phone conversation to catch up to the computer where she's at. We'll see if she's listening.
She's listening.
No,
trust me. She's listening.
Yeah.
But I have a question for you, Charlie.
Okay.
It's coming out of the chat room, and it says, I have a question for Charlie. Does he think Myrtle Beach deserves a comeback? That city dissed bikers badly, and many think the city and the residents get what they deserve by having no bikers show up.
That's interesting. What do you think, buddy?
No, I think Myrtle Beach needs to take it up the butt for a couple of years and see what they lost.
Yeah, because their taxes increased when they passed a myriad of anti-biker laws.
Yeah, and they also police it. You know, it's almost like they just don't want it there, so they're doing everything they can to stop it. And it all gets back to, you know, that whole event gets back to a lot
South
of these
Carolina,
events.
Right?
Yeah, South Carolina.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that gets back to what you were saying earlier, Bill, about the helmet law situation. I think you got like around, I don't know how many, what, a million bikers licensed in California. And you're saying about how
900,000 registered.
Yeah, 900,000. So roughly a million registered bikers, and how many of them were voting, you know, to make that helmet law not happen. And the most thing that I see, you know, when I look at chat rooms a lot of times, and the people just come from a big event, they only go to that one event. They don't hardly ride their bike all year long, and they like to get pulled over. They think it's great. Because they don't get it. Because they're only riding a couple of months out of the year on the weekends, and that's it. The rest of the time, that bike is parked, and they just prepare and go to this one event. They dress up like it's Halloween, and they go do that. And they get stopped by the law, man. They got a story to tell at the office for the rest of the year.
Exactly.
And so that's what's going on in Myrtle Beach. You know, that place is, you know, the people that want to go support that are the people that just want to say, oh, I went to Myrtle Beach this year for Bike Week. They don't get it.
Here, I'll tell you a little story about discrimination. Okay, you see me. That's the way I dress 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for,
right.
Fuck, how long ago?
Weddings, funerals, go to work, everything.
Since I got out of the Marine Corps, okay? I went to work the other day, and I had a guy tell me, you know, my guys are really, really, they can't talk to you because they feel the way you dress is intimidating. So actually, I turned around, and on the back of my hard hat, it says, don't worry, it says, warning, insensitive prick. So now I wear my hard hat backwards, so if I approach anybody, now it says, warning. So now I hope they get the message.
You know, at the party we have
the same thing with my helmet, Bill. What does it say on the front? It says same sticker.
Right.
It says warning, insensitive prick. I don't want to hear it. If you don't want to hear
right.
the answer to the question, don't ask me.
We had a guy come into my party and they said, they want to buy a black T-shirt. And I said, why? You want to wear something? Kennedy, sure, I'll sell it to you. No, Bill, everybody else has got a black T-shirt and I just got my first hog. And I belong to the Harleys group, and I don't have a black shirt on. I don't know if I don't fit in here. I don't belong. I said, man, putting this shirt on, says Kennedy's, is not going to make you fit in or belong. Go out there, shake hands. Oh, we have some of those members of the organization
right,
down there.
Right.
Those gentlemen are across the street. You know, those guys you hear in the news all the time. I said, having a shirt doesn't make you any more of a biker. Go out there and make a friend. They'll do it right for you. I told them I wouldn't sell them a T-shirt.
No, and then that was the same guy who walked over. He talked to those guys.
Yeah, he was all excited afterwards.
He was all excited.
They shook my hand.
He was all excited when he talked to Brian. Brian, you know, he told Brian the whole story. He was a new rider and this and that, and he didn't know how to fit in. And Brian basically told him, I'm not going to sell you a club shirt because I don't want to see you at the next event. And you tell me you had your ass beat because you walked into the wrong bar.
That's funny. You know, speaking of that.
There's good people everywhere. Take the time to go out and find them. That's what I say.
Well, we took a Skype meeting. Sonia and I did a Skype meeting with Michelle Renee a couple of nights ago, and I was wearing the Kennedy's sweatshirt that I have. And the first thing, I that's the first time Michelle and I had ever seen each other, any of us had. You know, we're sitting there, and we emailed and everything, and she looked, you know, you can see each other because we're Skyping, you know, we're on the computer. And she looked at, and she says, is that a Kennedy's motorcycle shirt that you're wearing? I said, hell yeah. And she goes, oh, I have got to get one of those. I said, so I gave her the whole spew about how comfortable, that's the coolest, the best sweatshirt out of all the sweatshirts I own or ever have worn. It's the warmest and the most comfortable, and still is. It's worn to death, washed to death because I wear it so much, and it's still holding up after all this time.
Yeah, I had mine on today, hanging on the back of the chair.
I appreciate that for the commercial plug. I tell everybody, I got good quality clothes, so even later in life, if you can't stand me, you always got a good rag to wipe your bike down, I tell everybody.
Hey, man, that's a great sweatshirt, and I'll tell you what, I'm so anal that I, in this weather, because it was like 9 degrees outside here, I put my Kennedy's T-shirt on under my Kennedy's sweatshirt. Just
it's
to make
60
sure
degrees here with
flight,
bro.
Yeah, well, it was wicked that day. I even have a Kennedy's tattoo on my butt that I stick on when I wear my Kennedy stuff.
That's okay. We didn't need to know that. But since you brought it up,
but
since you brought it up, you could put Sonya's phone and she could tell us what it looks like.
No.
She has to
put
it alive.
Is she within earshot?
Well, if she can hear us, I'm away from the computer, so we're not, you know, having a feedback issue. So I'm kind of like at the other side of the house, but she's sitting there listening.
If you can get her to come on
think,
the phone,
I don't think she
has
the, yeah.
This work you're doing with the musica, you're doing charity work, you're doing here, doing that. Sony is 100% behind you. Isn't it? I mean, this is taking a lot of time and stress, money away from your marriage. Are you guys really okay with all this together? Or how's she feeling?
Yeah, actually. Well, I mean, she enjoys it. I mean, she's probably, she's better than 50% of it most of the time. She's the face of it. I get to go out and, you know, I'm kind of like on the front line when it comes to, you know, getting
well,
on stage or something
dream.
Like that. But she's making,
me,
she does
me,
a lot of
living
background
your dream,
work.
Dude.
Yeah,
to me, you're living your dream,
work.
I wish I could get up on the stage and do that, what you do, man.
Yeah, but she's out
it?
There, man. She's in the trench, and she's in the front line. She's in the front line, too, man. And she's out there without her approaching these people, and she has such an articulate business way of handling everybody. It's she's selling it. She's a great salesperson, and when she goes in and asks for something or we need to get some sort of sponsorship or we're talking, negotiating, you know, for lack of a better word, I don't want to say it. I say this in a loving and perfect way, and I said this to Michelle. I didn't say it exactly like this, but Sonya's the bitch. When you need a thumper, she's thumping. And she'll
go
in there, and I'm saying, man, when there's a negotiation going on, you're not gonna bust her ass. You know, if we're negotiating a situation, she's going to kick your ass. She's not going to back down. So, man, she's
Charlie,
got all
you
that
married
stuff.
Your best friend, is that right?
Well, we're not married.
You're with your best friend.
Partners. Yep, exactly.
Semantic,
it took us all our
semantic.
Lives to find each other. Yeah, it took us all our lives to find each other, so we're very fortunate in that. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, we got some bumps and bumpy parts of the road to straighten out in our lives to make all this stuff work really well. But overall, man, no, she's right there behind it 100%. And basically what's happened is, you know, this Feeding America thing is something that we took on, and then Michelle's thing came along, and we're like, yeah, that's really cool. And so, you know, we've got a couple projects that are very exciting, and we really enjoy doing them.
Charlie, you made a very good point there, and I hope this doesn't deviate too much. I'd love to have Sonya come on and tell us a little bit about the choice, the stress of managing. What are some of her techniques? What are some of her tips she can give to other people in bands? If she doesn't want to come on tonight, maybe another night, but I think a lot of people in the music industry would like to hear some of her thoughts on that matter.
What do you think, Charlie? Can we get her to do it today?
I don't know if I can get her on there right now. I think she's actually she's sitting there listening, but she's on her own laptop doing something. I'm not in that room. Hang on a second.
But in your situation, there's a lot of people out there that in the music industry that they might like a couple of her tips or something on how she does this.
No, she's saying definitely next time.
Next time, for sure. I guess, you know?
Next time for sure.
Okay.
You know,
but,
I got this thing. Did you get that thing I sent you, Charlie, about the last 6 seconds?
Yeah,
Charlie?
I got that. I read that. I got it.
Okay. And how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, that was, you know, that's a pretty tough story to read. But, I mean, that's a very, you know, that's great. I mean, those guys did their job, and nobody blinked an eye and did their job, and that's you know, right what a Marine's supposed to do.
And you know the
their
bad
training
part?
Kicked in.
You know the bad part? It's only spent one day in the paper. I've emailed it, and it's up on the blog. It's going around
right.
the world right now. Right now, this just let me get to it real quick. I'll show Bill. He can verify this. But right now, in the month of November, we've had 103,555 people look at this.
Boy, look, you know, it's kind of interesting. Eva Lee in London, 3,000, 10,000, 10 hours from here, man, wherever Eva Lee is.
They're 8 hours.
Eight hours.
He's up in the middle of the night.
You know, here's a guy that said he'd like to come out
Morning.
And check one of these runs out here in Tennessee or San Diego.
Absolutely.
We're just, Charlie's talking out there, we're talking over, we're just people trying to help. And here we got people saying, I like what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I want to come.
That's,
I want to come.
You know, that makes you feel good.
You know? But, yeah, let me, just so people know what I'm talking about, this is, it's called The Last 6 Seconds. It's a story about Marines. And it was told by Lieutenant General Kelly. And, this is part of the last half of his speech, and he gave it to the Semper Fi Society of St. Louis, Missouri on 13 November, which was 3 days after the Marine Corps birthday, which is November 10th. What is a common highlight to the legacy of the Marine Corps through the actions of those who bravely defended the country, as Admiral Nimitz said after Iwo Jima, uncommon valor was a common virtue. As you probably know, General Kelly's son died 4 days before this speech. He was killed by an IED in Afghanistan while on his third combat tour. He was the second lieutenant doing what lieutenants and NCOs do, leading from the front and forward into the enemy. His name was Robert Kelly. Where do we get such people? We are most fortunate they walk among us and protect us. I will leave you with this story about the kind people that they are, about the quality of steel in their backs, about the kind of dedication they bring to our country while they serve in uniform and forever after as veterans. 2 years ago, when I was the commander of all U.S. and Iraqi forces, in fact, the 22nd of April, 2008, two Marine Infantry Battalions, 1-9, the Walking Dead, and 2-8-1-9, which is out of, they're out of 29 Palms, if I'm not mistaken, and 2-8 were switching out in Ramondi. One battalion was on the closing days of their deployment and were going home very soon. The other was just starting its 7-month combat tour. Two Marines, Corporal Jonathan Yale and Lance Corporal Jordan Herder, 22 and 20 years old, respectively, each from one battalion, were assuming the watch together at the entrance gate of an outpost that contained a makeshift barracks housing 50 Marines. The same broken-down ramshackle building was also home to 100 Iraqi police. Also, my men and our allies in the fight against the terrorists in Ramondi, a city until recently the most dangerous city on earth and owned by Al-Qaeda.
You know, I can't really still keep talking. Huh? What?
Hello?
Yale was a dirt-poor mixed-race kid from Virginia with a wife and a daughter and a mother and a sister who lived with him and he supported as well. He did this on a yearly salary of less than $23,000. You know, when I was in Billy, you know how much I made a year? The first year?
I don't know.
Take a guess. $8,300.
1969, I made $240 a month.
Herder, on the other hand, was a middle-class white kid from Long Island. They were two completely different worlds. They had not joined the Marines. They would never have met each other or understood that multiple Americans exist simultaneously depending on one's race, education level, economic status, and where you might have been born. But they were Marines, combat Marines, forged in the same crucible of Marine training, and because of this bond, they were brothers as close or closer than if they were born of the same woman. The mission orders they received from the sergeant squad leader, I am sure, went something like this. Okay, you two clowns, stand this post and unauthorized personnel or vehicles pass. I've heard that. I heard that in Beirut. You clear? I'm sure Yale and Harder rolled their eyes and said in unison something like this. Yes, Sergeant. And just enough attitude that made the point without saying words. No kidding. We know what they're doing. They were relieved. Two other Marines on watch and took up their post at the entry control point of Joint Security Station Nasser in Sophia section of Ramadi, Al Anbar, Iraq. A few minutes later, a large blue truck turned down the alley, weighed perhaps 60, 70 yards in length, and sped its way through the serpentine of concrete Jersey walls. The truck stopped just short of where two men were posted and detonated, killing them both catastrophically. Anyway, 24 brick masonry houses were damaged or destroyed. A mosque 100 yards away collapsed. The truck's engine came to rest 200 yards away, knocking most of the house down before it stopped. Our explosive experts reckon the blast was made of 2,000 pounds of explosives. Two died, and because these two young infantrymen didn't have it in their DA to run from danger, they saved 150 of their Iraqi and American brothers in arms. When I read the situation report about the incident a few hours after it happened, I called the regimental commander for details.
Well, I want to thank also right away for second here our sons and daughters of the United States Army, the Navy, the Air Force.
And the Marines.
And the Marines. Did I forget any of the Coast Guard, excuse me.
Coast Guard.
We thank all service. Screwdriver is a bit top heavy with the Marine Corps. I'm not. I just remind everybody, we thank all the military people what they're doing. And on my own pedestal, I want to thank all the draftees. We were completely omitted. Draftees were a rare breed indeed.
When I read the situation report about the incident a few hours after it happened, I called the regimental commander for details, as something about this struck me as different. Marines dying or being seriously wounded is commonplace in combat. We expect Marines, regardless of rank, MOS, to stand their ground and do their duty, even die in the process, if that's what the mission takes. But this just seemed different. The regimental commander had just returned from the site, and he agreed, but reported that there were no American witnesses to the event, just Iraqi police. I figured there was any chance of finding out what actually happened and then decorate the two Marines who acknowledged their bravery. I'd have to do as a combat award that requires two eyewitnesses, and we figured the bureaucrats back in Washington would never buy Iraqi statements. If I had any chance at all, it would have to come under the signature of a general officer. I traveled to Ramadi the next day and spoke individually to a half a dozen Iraqi police, all of whom told the same story. The blue truck turned down into the alley, immediately sped up as it made its pathway to the Serpentine. They all said, we knew immediately what was going on as soon as the two Marines began firing. The Iraqi police then related some of the muscle fired, and then to a man ran for safety just prior to the explosion. All survived. Many were injured, some seriously. One of the Iraqis elaborated with tears in his welling up, said, they'd run like any normal man would to save his life. What he didn't know until then, he said, was that what he learned that very instant was that the Marines are not normal. Choking past the emotion, he said, sir, in the name of God, no sane man would have stood there and done what they did. No sane man, they saved us all. What we don't know at the time and only learned a couple of days later after I wrote the summary and submitted both Yale and Harder for posthumous Navy crosses was that one of the security cameras damaged initially in the blast recorded some of the suicide attack. It happened exactly as the Iraqis described it. It only took 6 seconds from the truck entering the alley until it detonated. You can watch the last 6 seconds of their lives, putting myself in their heads. I suppose it took about a second for the two Marines to separately come to the same conclusion what was going on once the truck came into their view as far into the alley. Exactly, no time to talk it over, no time to call the sergeant or ask what they should do, only enough time to take an instant and think about what sergeant told them to do only a few minutes before, that no authorized personnel or vehicles pass. The two Marines had about 5 seconds to live. It took maybe another 2 seconds for them to present their weapons, take aim, and open up. By this time, the truck was halfway through the barriers and gaining speed the whole time. Here, the recording shows a number of Iraqi police, some of whom had fired their AKs, now scattered like the normal and rational men they were seen, were some running past the Marines. They had 3 seconds to live. For about 2 seconds more, the recording shows the Marines' weapons firing nonstop, the truck's windshield exploding into shards of glass as the rounds took it apart and tore into the body of the son of a bitch who was trying to get past them to kill their brothers, American and Iraqi, bedded down and totally unaware of the fact that their lives at the moment depended entirely on the two Marines standing their ground. If they had been aware, they would have known that they were safe because two Marines stood between them and a crazed suicide bomber. The recording shows the truck careening into a stop immediately in front of the two Marines. In all of the instantaneous violence, Yale and Harder never hesitated. By all reports and by the recording, they never stepped back. They never stepped aside. They never shifted their weight. With their feet spread apart, shoulder width apart, they leaned into danger, firing as fast as they could to work their weapons. They only had 1 second to live. The truck explodes. The camera goes blank. The two young go to their God. 6 seconds. Not enough time to think about their families, their country, their flag, or their lives or their deaths, but more than enough time for two very brave young men to do their duty into eternity. This is the kind of people we are on the watch all over the world for you tonight. While we Marines believe that God gave America the greatest gift he could bestow on man when he lived on this earth, freedom. We also believe he gave us another gift nearly precious as our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Coast Guardsmen, and Marines to safeguard that gift and guarantee no force on this earth shall ever steal it away. It has been my distinct honor to have been with you here today. Rest assured, our America, this experiment in democracy started over two centuries ago, will forever remain the land of the free and home of the brave, so long as we never run out of young Americans who are willing to go beyond their own self-interest and comfortable lives and go into the darkest and most dangerous places on earth to hunt down and kill those who would do us harm. God bless America and Semper Fidelis. What do you think of that, Bill?
All right, I got to say this again to you. You're not going back in the military. They're never going to call you back in. I appreciate the fact what you're doing over and over and over. But you get all teary-eyed doing this. You get emotional. The hairs on your arm are sticking up with that. I know the message is important. I don't think there's a single person out there that doesn't appreciate your message. But you get yourself emotional here. You got
I
want everybody else to realize it. Yeah.
I lost 274 of my friends on one day, Bill. One shot.
I'm not saying never stop. I just want to point out to you. You still get very emotional on that.
What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think it's not getting enough notice, man. I think people don't appreciate it, you know. I mean, I think a handful of people appreciate it. A lot of it just goes right over the top, so.
Yeah, I tried to post it on Facebook, but it breaks up into about 40 pieces, and they won't post it.
Right.
People need to know what's going on out there, you know, what our troops are doing for our country, you know, and it's right. The message should definitely be put out there because people just take it for granted how it's all hunky-dory out there and stuff like that. When you see soldiers coming back from Afghanistan who are missing legs and have really bad injuries and stuff, then, you know, it does open up your eyes and... Well, Philip, I'll tell you something in private, why it means so much to me, you know, when we speak later on. I'll tell you why, you know. Okay?
Uh-huh. Well, but like I said, we don't, you know, Bill even said, Bill and I will go to our graves helping the vets, but there's one thing that people forget for the last 10 years. You know what it is, Bill? It's your number one topic when you talk about the vets. You talk about the men, and you bring in the...
And the women.
And the women. Because nobody remembers the women.
Yeah. Evil, can I ask you a question? At the Falklands, when you guys went over there and had a disagreement with Argentina, and you took your own island back in safety of all those people over there, what was the attitude of the English people when the soldiers came back from the Falklands?
Oh, they were regarded as heroes, you know. They were... They were absolute heroes when they came back, you know.
Yeah, I do. You know, it's been a long time since we thought of our American soldiers as heroes.
Yeah,
these people came
brilliant.
Over, took care of their own
I'm
business, came back.
But I've lived
country
in
loves them.
Life.
In America, when's the last time we appreciated and loved our soldiers? I was wrong here. The Eagles people are on the target. We Americans are dropping the ball here.
Right. Well, everybody thinks it's like McDonald's, man. Everybody's so jaded. This has been going on so long, they just think, you know, it's like, oh, you know, it's just like anything else that happens every day. They're just so, they don't get it, you know.
Right.
They're numb to it.
And I have to apologize, Charlie. We got into some topics, and I was gonna play your song, right? But
I'll
open up next week with that. I promise.
That's cool.
I read that thing and I just wanted to get it out there because I tried to post it, like I said, it's on my blog, and 553,555 people have looked at it in the last month.
Well, that's great, man. That's where it should be. You know, I'm glad you read it, and that's much more important than playing a song.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going back in the military. You're too old.
No, I'm not.
You want to go back?
I go back in a heartbeat. How about you, Charlie?
Oh, yeah, if they let me in there, I mean, I guess we could go in and be with be an advisor or go for Blackwater or something, right?
Well, one of the points I want to make to you guys, I'm not actually British, I'm Brazilian, as you probably can hear by my name, Portuguese-Brazilian. But
I want to tell you, there's 10 seconds, you're probably going to get cut off, but go ahead.
I was in the reserve army for quite a bit, you know. So, hello.
Yes, go ahead. We're still there. You're still there.
I was in the Reserve Army of the United Kingdom, so I know what it's about, you know?
Yeah.
We're losing our show, Gun. I want to say thank you to everybody listening, everybody to join us. We appreciate that. Charlie, your wealth of information. We're going to do great things in the future. Screwdriver, not a bad night tonight, you know?
No, it wasn't.
I want to say goodnight to everybody.
Yeah, I want to say goodnight to everybody, too.
Good night, everybody.
All right, I'll talk to you
good
a
night.
Little bit.
Good night.
All right, good night. Thanks for calling in, guys.
See ya.
Yeah, I sent that to you. I told Kyle to show it to you. Did you see it?
No.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get my own system set up. You know, I talked to you about you can't go back to the military and all that, and you're getting emotional and all that. You know how many people feel that same thing when you're hearing that? That's why I want them to say, you know what? You know,
right.
You know, that's
you're
what I want
fucking
to
right.
I'm aggravating you.
Yeah.
So they can realize, oh, wait a minute, no, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm feeling the same way and all that. So we'll get more response on that. That's what I guess. Go get some food.
Yeah. Well, you need to call that, you need to call that chicken tower to call me.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes, I will.
And I'll send her how to do it.